From Spark and Anvil and General's Tale, this is General Zhang in Chapter 1 of the General's Tale cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. The board was quiet, the way a board gets quiet in the middle of a long game, when both sides have stopped rushing and started thinking. General Zhang sat with her chin in her paws, studying the 9x10 grid. She was small for a tiger cub, jade green with soft stripes, and she wore a plain command vest with a little cannon charm hanging from the pocket. She did not look fierce. She looked, mostly, like she was listening to the board. Across from her, an older student had just slid a soldier forward, pleased with himself. He thought he was building an attack. Zhang saw something else. She saw that the soldier now sat squarely in a line, her cannon's line, with his knight waiting beyond it. "Interesting," she said softly. She lifted her cannon and moved it straight down the file. It leapt clean over the soldier, over his own piece, and landed on the knight, lifting it off the board. The older student blinked. "Wait, you went over my soldier." "The cannon captures by jumping," Zhang said. "It needs one piece in between, a screen, and then it strikes the piece past it. Your soldier was the screen. You built it for me without meaning to." He stared at the empty square where his knight had been. "I didn't see it." Zhang set the captured knight gently at the edge of the board, the way you set down something that mattered. "Almost nobody sees it at first," she said, "and there was no meanness in it at all. The cannon's threats stay invisible until your eyes learn the shape of them. Then one day, you can't stop seeing them." She had learned that on a slow afternoon years earlier, sitting beside her grandfather while the rain came down. He played Shang-Chi the way other people breathed, without hurry, without showing off. Little Zhang had watched him for hours and understood almost nothing, and it made her chest tight with a small, stubborn frustration. Everyone kept telling her the cannon was the cleverest piece on the board, and to her, it just looked like a chariot that couldn't make up its mind. "I don't get it," she'd finally said. "It moves in a line, but it can't take things in a line. That's silly." Her grandfather had smiled at the rain. "It can take things in a line," he said. "It just needs a friend standing in the doorway first." He placed one piece, then another behind it, then a third beyond. "Watch the middle one. The cannon can't reach across an empty road, but give it something to vault over. One thing, only one. And suddenly it can reach all the way to the end." He'd let her try it herself. She lined up the screen. She made the jump. The far piece came off the board, and something in her chest unlocked, a small, warm click, like a key turning. "There it is," her grandfather said, watching her face. "You felt that." She had. She'd felt the whole game rearrange itself behind her eyes. From then on, empty lines and blocked lines were two completely different worlds to her, and she could tell them apart at a glance. She walked to the academy at 12, because a place that studied the old game of Shang-Chi ought to have room for the piece that thought sideways. General Mei, the mentor, met her at the gate and did not ask her to prove she was strong. She set out a board and asked one thing: "Show me the cannon." Zhang didn't answer in words. She set two pieces on a file with a gap between them, then slid one more piece into the gap, a single screen. Then she moved the cannon, let it leap the screen, and lifted the far piece off cleanly. "And without the screen?" Mei asked. Zhang cleared the middle square. Now the cannon sat with an open road ahead of it, and the far piece just sitting there, untouchable. "Then it's only a long walker," she said. "Same piece, different world. The whole difference is whether there's one thing standing in between." Mei looked at the board for a long moment, then at the small cub who had explained the most misunderstood piece in the game without raising her voice. "You belong here," she said. "This is its own game, you know. 1,000 years old, with its own heart. Don't let anyone tell you it's a borrowed idea. It never borrowed a thing." Zhang nodded. She had always known that in her bones. Her corner of the academy filled up with students who thought the cannon was broken. A girl came in one afternoon, arms crossed, board already set. "I hate the cannon," she announced. "It never takes anything. I move it and move it, and it just wanders." Zhang almost laughed, because she remembered saying nearly the same thing to her grandfather. "Set up a move you tried," she said. The girl slid her cannon down an empty file toward an enemy horse. Nothing happened. The horse sat safe and smug. "Right," Zhang said. "Empty road. The cannon can't cross it to strike. It's like calling to someone across a canyon. You can see them, but you can't reach them." She placed a lone soldier halfway down the line. "Now try." The girl frowned, moved the cannon again, and this time it vaulted the soldier and knocked the horse clean off. Her whole face changed. "It jumped. It jumped," Zhang agreed. "One screen. Never two, never none. Just one piece to launch from, and then it reaches all the way through." She tapped the board lightly. "The trick isn't moving the cannon harder. It's finding the doorway. The one piece already standing where you need it. Sometimes it's yours. Sometimes it's theirs. The cannon doesn't care whose it is." The girl set up another screen on her own, hunting for the shape now, and found a second capture nobody had left open on purpose. "I keep seeing them," she said, half amazed. "That's the part that never stops," Zhang said. "Once your eyes learn the doorways, the whole board is full of them."
Later, when the tables were empty, the girl came back with a quieter question. "When there's no piece in the middle," she said, "and the cannon's just sitting there doing nothing, how do you know it's still dangerous?" Zhang thought about the rain and her grandfather and the small warm click in her chest. "You feel it before you see it," she said. "There's a stillness to a loaded cannon. The same feeling is standing very quiet while everyone else is talking, because you've noticed the one thing that changes everything. It's patient. It's waiting for a single door to open." She looked out toward the gray afternoon light. "And when it does open, when one piece slides into the gap, the whole board tips." The girl nodded slowly, and Zhang watched the crossed arms come loose, the shoulders drop, that stubborn frustration finally letting go, the same way, years ago, hers had, in the sound of the rain.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to General Zhang. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.